kitchen sink. And here's your host, Eddie Z and Chris Wizard.
So today when I walked in, Chris, I saw there was something wrong with your crotch area.
First off, why are you looking at my crotch? That's for one. Two.
It was saying hello.
For everyone. Well, that's disgusting. And it would not say hello to you. It would snub you. So, well, first off, just so everyone doesn't misinterpret it, there was nothing wrong with my crotch area. I happened to do a split on the ice today. I ripped my pants all the way up my crotch. And that was great. That was a great jog to Old Navy.
And that was going to work, right?
Yeah, that was going to work. So my pants split open, which I noticed as I got in and started enjoying my coffee.
Felt the breeze?
I kind of did, actually. And I looked down and you know.
Did you split your boxers, too?
No,
I'm wondering
no.
Where the breeze. How
are
you?
No, but if I move the right way, like, you know, Pikachu pop out. You know what I mean? Like I summoned him from the ball.
Those are some really small boxers, bro.
I had to keep warm today first, okay? And they weren't that tight. People are going to misinterpret things here.
The funniest thing was you brought them home. Why didn't you just throw them away? You brought them home.
I don't know. What am I going to do? Throw them in my office garbage can? How's that going to look?
Like someone.
The cleaning lady comes as a pair of pants and the.
Ay, Dios mío!
Yeah, you racist.
I can do that. I'm Spanish.
I suppose.
Great way to start off a Wednesday.
And then when I was in the dressing room trying on pants at Old Navy, it ripped even more. And then I had to go out and walk past a lady who was guarding the dressing room.
Why didn't you just wear them and then just pay for them? Like stand on
the line? She wouldn't let me, I asked.
No? Oh.
So I was like, fuck it. You got to get to see my nuts then.
You sure you didn't take what today is literally? Hump day!
Really? How long did it take you to come up with that?
Kind of just now. Kind of didn't work as well as I thought.
No. No.
Welcome everybody. This is the Kitchen Sink Podcast Show. And you're here with your host, Eddie Z.
And Chris,
this is
Wizard.
My guest. Can you let me introduce you? Jeez,
no.
This guy does. I'm trying to be the hype man over here for this guy. And I'm going to give him an introduction. He doesn't want
to. Your timing threw me off. Sorry.
Introduced. Okay, so we're done with that. You know who this guy is. You know who I am. Welcome to the show. We've been getting a lot of support. And like I wrote on Facebook, I can't show you guys enough love and say thank you for the support. You get a lot of thank yous from me on Facebook, through email, and on Twitter, because that's just what I do. I want everyone who follows us, who likes us, to let you know that we do acknowledge every single like. We do acknowledge every single Twitter follower.
Except for yours, Corey.
Yeah, Corey. Nah, Corey's a good man. If you want to hear anything and everything about wrestling, go over to his podcast at Workshoot Pod Twitter and the Workshoot Podcast, and you can find it on iTunes for everything wrestling. And that's enough giving him props. We're going to here to talk about everything we like and everything you like by what you put down on our Facebook page, emails, and Twitter account. And we're going to start. Well, you know what? Because when Chris called me about this, I was adamantly pissed off. And I'll tell you why in about a few seconds. I'm going to let him introduce what's going to be our first segment today.
I begged him to watch this movie, and I already know all of you did. You know, it's guaranteed because it's such a classic movie that it cannot be denied.
Oh,
and it
man.
Should be in what is that the top 100 movie list, the Criterion?
The AMC.
Yeah, or the Criterion, whatever the F that is. Sharknado.
What, Chris?
Sharknado.
Sharknado. What was that, Chris?
Sharknado.
He calls me Sunday and goes, Ed, I know what we're doing. I'm like, what? He was so happy. I'm like, wow, Chris called me to tell me he wants to do a segment. This is what I've been waiting for. What is it, Chris? What do you want to do? And he tells me Sharknado. All right. And he told me about this movie long ago.
But you watched it.
And I refused to because I'm a team player. And if you're that adamant about it, and I think we could do something really good with it, I'm going to watch it because I want to know what the hoopla is about. And I saw it.
Oh, the hoopla.
It was... All right, I don't want you to turn off the podcast by what I say first. It's hopefully with what I say last at the end of the podcast.
Go ahead, shut off.
But we're gonna have fun with it today. It's becoming a cult classic, and we're
gonna start it off. A perfect example of how physics should work.
Yeah, in a weird world, or a perfect example on how not to make a movie. So, we're going to discuss all the ins and outs about Sharknado. We hope you enjoy us. And, you know, Chris, why don't you tell us a little bit about the beginnings of Sharknado? Like, what, who?
Okay, well, first, just before we talk about this, let me give a spoiler alert.
This is spoiler alert.
Okay, and...
Way to go, Chris.
Insert sound here. Okay, the concept is just beautiful. A tornado slash hurricane, kind of unclear what it was, rips its way towards L.A. somehow, I guess for the first time in a long time.
They blamed it on global warming.
Yeah, they blamed it on global warming. Okay. And apparently there was about a couple of jillion sharks hanging around California, and they got swept up in the hurricane. And they were spinning round and round and round. And lo and behold, they landed on L.A., where a group of curmudgeonly fellas are sitting around drinking in a bar. And they have to make their way to the main character's family, Ian Ziering, a just astounding, beautiful actor.
Some of you might remember Ian Ziering as Steve Sanders from 90210. And in this movie, he played Finn. And Tara Reid was also in this movie. If you remember Tara Reid.
Oh, wait. His name was Finn in this movie?
His name was Finn in
that's
this movie.
That's brilliant. Yeah. I just realized, wow.
Finn. He was in a shark movie, and he was called Finn.
That's...
And Tara Reid from American Pie.
See how, like, literary and just genius this movie was?
They put it in the wrong places, to tell you the truth. But we're going to go, because I have fun with this movie.
But they had such stunning lines, just to give you a
go
clue.
Go for it.
Let's see. They took my grandfather, so I really hate sharks. That was one astounding line. And it was said with absolutely no feeling. There was a scene where a bunch of blood covered the floor, and someone said, "It looks like it's that time of the month."
Yes, and I heard that, and I'm like, are they really putting these lines in there?
You know why? Apparently, the director told them to improvise. So that was where some of those beautiful lines came from.
Okay, so right now, obviously, we're here to talk about how the holes in the movie. And that's how we're going to have fun.
Holes? There were no holes?
Because
it was a masterpiece.
This movie was a masterpiece. It was a masterpiece in the right sense. So let's start. We got this character, Finn, and he has his own bar. Of course, it's in California, so he's a surfer. Well, right off the top, we start this movie off, and you see this gangster-ass dude on a boat with another sharp-dressed guy. They're exchanging words. It looks like a drug deal's about to go down. They got a suitcase full of money.
No, they were selling some sort of shark juice or whatever.
It was weird.
But that scene had absolutely nothing to do with the rest of the movie.
The hurricane came, picked up sharks, swept through the whole boat. You know, the gangster dude threw the other guy off the boat. He stood there like, yeah! And then the sharks ate him in the hurricane.
By flying in his face.
So we move forward and fast forward to the bar, and we hear, like, the newscasters, and they're like, due to global warming, California's seeing an unusual type weather. We have a hurricane. But the one good thing is that they're drawing the sharks away from the shore. Which was a setup because it wasn't true. Finn decides to go surfing, and there we see an army of sharks going towards the California shore.
And they set it up with a beautiful girl flirting with him, who then proceeds to go out into the ocean and gets eaten.
Like, she was the hot girl, and she died. I instantly thought of Air Force One or whatever that movie was with Harrison Ford and Steven Seagal, where Steven Seagal died in the first 2 minutes of the movie. Was that Air Force One?
Oh, man.
Who knows? Yeah. I'll give it to you guys.
Executive Decision?
Executive Decision. There you go. Executive Decision. Steven Seagal. They advertised Steven Seagal on an Executive Decision. He died in the first 2 minutes of the movie.
Well, was that a bad thing in that case, though?
Yeah, but I went there for Steven Seagal. So
you did?
Yes, I did, actually. This was that phase of Steven Seagal phase. Not that I had a huge one, but he was the action star that I went to see. That could
coincide with awkward puberty?
I don't know. I don't know what went on there. So we got this movie, and this is when I screamed at the TV, and I didn't know if I was screaming in laughter or I was having a conniption.
A little bit of both, I bet.
And I'm looking at the movie, and sharks are going towards the shore. It bites a few people, and people go, "Shark!" And there's people in the bar and then buildings running out the buildings into the street, screaming and panicking.
Into sunshine.
They go, "Shark!" And everybody runs out the buildings into the street like they said, "Zombie apocalypse!" Everybody just lost their shit out in the street. Instead of, why don't you just look out the window? The sharks aren't coming.
You're the only one who'd run if someone said zombie apocalypse.
The sharks aren't coming on the land. And people were running and trampling each other. And they weren't going anywhere. They were going left and right.
Well, somewhere. And I think they hooked in like beach footage because some people were just chilling.
Yeah, there was people actually hanging out at the beach drinking.
And what I meant by sunshine was actually... during the storm, they cut to different shots of them leaving the building, and it was like perfectly clear weather.
Oh my God. That killed me through the whole movie. It was raining on the window, and when they step outside, it was like 98 degrees, and everybody was drinking like pina coladas, and everybody was just running randomly everywhere. And so they leave, and they got to go pick up his kid. They get up there. Obviously, Tara Reid comes. She's trying to put on an actual acting performance, which failed miserably. And the hurricane's coming inland, and it starts filling up the house with water. And lo and behold, the hurricane picked up the sharks from the ocean, and it's dropping it all over California.
In her living room.
And it dropped a big shark in her living room.
The wife of the main hero.
Yeah, who was Tara Reid. Yeah, who was So she has this mammoth shark, and then the stepdad is being all hard-ass about it. Of course, he's going to die in the movie. And they got to figure out a way. So what do you think Finn does, Chris? Tell me what Finn does.
What does Finn do? You mean when he's in there?
Yeah.
He throws a bookcase at the shark. And apparently that's enough to keep the shark at bay. This 800-pound, 1,000-pound, whatever it is, beast. It's enough to keep him at bay.
All right. So let me tell you. There's sharks falling everywhere. And these people, instead of just running past the shark, because, you know, if a shark lands outside the street, the smart thing to do is walk up to it and waste your ammo instead of just waiting 5 minutes until it loses air and dies. They waste all their ammo on about three sharks. So they waste their ammo on this shark. They get out the house. They start driving off. And as they're driving off, they look up at the house. And their house is on a hill with a whole bunch of other houses. But their house is the only one that filled up with water and crumbled to pieces. At that point, I said, okay, I'm going to walk around right now.
Wait, no. You missed a shark coming out of the sewer.
Oh, the shark was getting shot out the sewer. Like a tornado, like a torpedo out of a cannon.
Like a sharknado?
Like a sharkpedo.
Oh! Sharkpedo. Did I set that one up? I guess. Probably. I certainly did.
So now he has to go pick up his son, who's been, you know, trying to avoid him. His son's a pilot. And they drive somewhere. They go into a store. They find a Hummer. They find a Humvee. They start driving. The cops start following them. And in the Humvee, the whole time, it's raining. It's pouring.
Or it's not.
We don't know because it's raining on the window. You don't see any background through the window. And then when the camera pans to another shot, it's sunny. There's cars nicely driving by. People outside kind of hanging out. That was before they picked up the sun, right? Or when they were outrunning the cops.
Yeah.
So they go pick up the sun.
And the cops were setting up a roadblock to for whatever reason, in the sunshine, where there was not a drop of rain during this hurricane.
Oh, we forgot a fart.
All right. And they happened to have a Humvee with nitrous injection.
And this is why it's horrible.
They stole it from a movie lot.
First of all right, so we missed a big chunk in the middle, which was as they're driving, they see a school bus, right? So,
oh yeah,
Finn decides he wants to stop to save these kids.
Right? I bet you like the teacher and the thing, right?
Yeah, you know. He stops. He goes down. He drops a line. He jumps on top of the school bus, and the whole time they keep showing these really poorly done CG sharks. They're really poorly animated sharks through the window of what these kids are looking out, because the water's filling up in the street for some reason. He puts, you know, he hooks up a kid, and there's a guy on the top, and he's literally pulling up these kids with his bare hands, like with the rope. They put the teacher on, who's this hipster or hippie, big guy. They bring him up, and he starts to go up at the end, and a shark leaps out the water and wraps himself around the rope. And now the guy who's holding them by his hands with the string is holding a human and a giant shark at the end of the rope. So, yeah, he ends up making his way up. And the
rope's fraying a little
bit. Yeah, and the rope's fraying. But it never breaks. It shows us the rope is fraying, but then it don't go nowhere with it. He ends up getting up to the top.
Well, they got in just in time.
And they got there just in time. And suddenly a big windstorm picks up. And I guess everything from the hurricane's falling now. And the teacher who they picked up, the hippie guy, is standing there. Hey, man, my mom always wanted me to go to Hollywood, become an actor. She always said Hollywood would kill me. And I don't even know what fell on him, Chris.
A letter from the Hollywood sign.
A letter from the Hollywood sign.
Because he said Hollywood would kill me.
And a letter from the Hollywood sign fell on top of him and crushed him.
Yes.
Fast forward to picking up to his son. And obviously he's in this aviation place. You take it now.
And he's hiding in a closet with a bunch of people and the instructor. So apparently the instructor doesn't know what's going on, wanders out into the middle of the hangar, and somehow gets sucked through the roof with a tornado from the Sharknado. And no one else does, just her, because the Sharknado liked her. So she got sucked away and died after her three lines. And then, what happened next?
They go outside. They say, we need a transport. They need a way. They start looking around. They say, we need weapons.
That's right. They need weapons because they're acting like it's the zombie apocalypse. And then they cross the street because they see a Hollywood vehicle, like depot or whatever. So they happen to grab a Humvee with nitrous, like I said. And then they start building bombs from the material in the airport hangar, because their bright idea is if they throw bombs at the tornado from a helicopter flying by a tornado, which just astounded me, by the way, that it's going to cancel out the tornado from the heat.
They had a very good explanation, Chris.
Did they
said the three tornadoes that had formed because of the hurricane, that the hurricane dropped the sharks in the street, the tornadoes picked them up. So now the tornadoes are deadly because they have live sharks in them.
Oh my goodness.
They said the way tornadoes are formed is when hot temperature and cold temperature are evenly met in the middle, and it creates a tornado. So the bombs were there to offset the tornado by creating more heat than cool air, which would disperse the tornado. So
after that explanation, I'm assuming you're completely comfortable with them flying a helicopter by the tornado.
They go really close to the tornado. But let's tell them what the bomb was. The bomb was these little nitrogen tanks that they wrapped
With a flare gun.
And a smoke alarm.
Oh, and a smoke alarm.
And they said, how are we going to ignite this? He said, well, we taped the smoke alarm up to this nitrogen. So put the gas on and hold the button on the smoke detector for 3 seconds, and then strike the flare and throw it. And it was an explosion for the masses.
he threw you can't even talk now, guys. So then as they're doing this.
No, but it was the guy and the girl. The girl who came
from the bar. Oh, yeah, the guy and the girl. The girl, whose grandfather got eaten by sharks.
And Finn's son were in the helicopter.
Yeah.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, she falls out of the helicopter after bravely killing two tornadoes and gets swallowed by a shark in midair. Which was amazing. I actually I watched this movie twice. Once with my cousin, and his mouth did not close for the whole movie because he was just like astounded. And then so this girl got eaten by the shark. The rest of the family decides to go next door to the old folks' home, as the old folks are still frolicking in the pool. That a tornado is coming. So A plus to the caretakers of that establishment. That these elderly people are swimming in the pool having fun, while a tornado / hurricane is coming their way. And then when the sharks fell in the pool, by the way, the sharks were okay with chlorine in their lungs, right?
Yes.
And then the scene of the movie.
Don't get there yet. We're talking about the ending.
We're just giving away the whole movie here. We're just talking about the whole movie.
Yes, that's why we said spoiler. So we
the sharks are falling.
Extreme spoiler. And it's like Left 4 Dead, the video game. People got shotguns and sharks are flying at them, and they're like, boom, boom, and they just blowing sharks up the air like there's points to be given. All these sharks are just falling, and they're shooting the sharks. They have all the ammo in the world to shoot the sharks. But they have to get rid of the third tornado because the girl failed. She fell into a shark mouth. So the Finn takes the Humvee. He laces it with all these bombs. And he drives it up a hill, which completely makes sense. And he hits Nas on the Humvee and jumps out the car, which is only about 20 feet away from the tornado. And he's able to run the other way. He hits the Nas or the Nexus. Yeah, it goes into it. It creates such an explosion that dissolves the tornado and disperses all these sharks just flying everywhere. It was like the mother tornado, like the last master of tornadoes. And now he gets to run back. And he has to run back. So this is where you were at, Chris. Take it away.
So he runs back and sees that his daughter is about to be eaten by a shark that's flying towards her from miles away. From, I think, like Oklahoma or something. And he runs to her. Because apparently she can't look up in the air at all. And shoves her out of the way. Grabs a chainsaw from his... Like, kicks it up with his foot. And runs at the shark.
Out of nowhere.
And flies into the shark's mouth with the chainsaw.
He flies into the shark's mouth.
And the shark lands with a thud. And then everyone has their astounding, oh my gosh, faces that incredible acting... You know, can give you. And he cuts his way out of the shark. And lo and behold, he goes back in the shark and grabs the girl from earlier, who apparently can survive in a shark's intestines for however long that was. And then
Remember, the girl?
The girl who really hates sharks.
The one who fell out the helicopter into the shark's mouth.
So she wakes up and goes, I really hate sharks. Bam!
And movie. Then they look off, and the whole L.A. looks like it was World War Z. The whole L.A. is just destroyed. Like, sharks had legs, and they were running around killing everything. Like, it looks like the A-bomb hit. All of L.A. is completely
except for the
destroyed.
Next frame, and then everything's okay.
Yeah, except when it gets close up, and you see behind them. L.A.'s perfectly fine. I think you even see some cars.
So don't worry about L.A., folks. It's still there.
But what you should worry about is New York.
Okay, Oh, no.
Chris, you want to tell them why?
Sharknado 2, the second one.
Sharknado! It's in New York. It has such a huge cult following that they're making a second part has been demanded, and they're making a second part. So, my final thoughts on it is, if you really want to have a good laugh, if you want to be part of something that probably in 10 years from now, it's probably going to be one of those cult classic films that people go, did you see Sharknado? This is probably going to be it. It was funny. It was ridiculous.
It's a classic example of why we love bad movies, I think.
If you're a film snob, I like to consider myself a film buff, like a movie buff. I really know a lot about movies, but I'm not a movie snob. I'm not like, oh my God, look at the composition.
You were yesterday.
No, I don't want to watch Sharknado. Because I don't like wasting time, Chris. There's a difference
between... Were you wasting time?
No, I watched it at 2 in the morning, so at that point, there's no time to be wasting except my sleep. If you're a harsh film critic, if you don't want to waste your time at all, like if you find yourself, you're not one of those people who likes to watch silly things, ridiculous things, or just funny things, don't waste your time with this movie because you're going to see it and you're going to bury it. And it's one of those movies that, you know, when Evil Dead first came out, I remember being a kid and Evil Dead first came out and people hated the movie. People thought it was stupid, it was cheesy, it was low budget, and now look at Evil Dead. And I'm not calling this Evil Dead. I am not calling this Evil Dead. Evil Dead is... I've always thought that movie was fantastic. This is just one of those movies. A second part's going
to
come out.
Now, people, I want you to realize that I want you to let this man over here know that when I tell him to watch a movie, he's got to watch the movie.
No.
Yes.
No. You know, Listen, I'll take this movie over Human Centipede any day of the week.
You wanted me to watch that one, so there you go.
It took us 5 minutes.
Your credentials.
It took us 5 minutes. We skipped through the whole movie and just saw the last, like, 2 minutes in the middle, 2 minutes a little after the middle, and then the last 2 minutes at the end.
Can't even think about that.
So, folks, if Sharknado, it's actually 87 minutes long, and between the front credits and the back
even
credits,
though we the told the whole really, movie.
And it's still worth
only
watching. Only
because I don't think you'd believe us.
Yeah, it's still worth watching. Because I still think even though we had a good time with it, we're probably going to have a better one. If you're somebody who wants to have a good time with your buddies, grab a six-pack, have some pizza.
If you want to laugh at shit.
If you just want to laugh at stuff, if you hit in the sticky icky icky and you want to bug out, just throw Sharknado on.
Speaking of stupid and weird shit.
This is a segment we like to call...
Weird Shit! According to a reliable source called the internet, I'm going to read you a snippet of today's weird shit. As police continue to search for the alleged Swiss cheese pervert, one woman who claims she was approached by the suspect is speaking out about her experience. "He told me he liked to put Swiss cheese on his private area," said Priscilla, who asked that her last name be anonymous. After reading that, there's an obvious question here, guys. And I was thinking about it, and the question is, why Swiss cheese?
I gotta guess it's all the holes.
Boo!
And that's our weekend.
Weird shit!
Ancient spirits of evil, transform this decayed form to Mumra!
So coming back from that quick little break, we hope you like our breaks. I do. I put them out there because I'm thinking you guys will think about that, get that little nostalgia moment about those little morsels that take you back to a time when you were a kid. We wanted to talk about, you know, Chris told me about Sharknado and he loved it, but not in a love way where you love like Oscar winning performances, but in a funny, weird, cult classic way. And I can't say I love it, but I could definitely recommend it if you want to have fun. so we're going to do, last week we said we would tell you our three movies that we love that everyone hated. So we're going to start it off and I'm going to point to my man Chris Wizard to start it up. Yeah. Chris, what's one movie you love you think or that you know that everyone hated?
I'm going to say Sharknado.
There you go.
For the first one.
Sharknado threw it right on the top, and he would be completely, he's right. But why? Tell me why. I mean, we spent a lot of time analyzing the movie and breaking it down, but why you felt the compassion to call me and make me watch it?
Because it's hilarious. It's comic genius without being on purpose. I'm assuming. If it is on purpose, it's like astoundingly brilliant. But, I mean, the lack of physics... the lack of any acting.
Weather patterns.
Of correct weather patterns. It's astounding. Okay, and it has sharks in it.
And the physics of sharks. All right, we still have Sharknado 1.
Long enough, right? Yeah.
You are right. You are the one person who loves it. And thing is, a lot of people will hate it, but as far as the cults go, you know, people are always going to, they're going to love it. But, yeah, it's not something you're ever going to see. You know, if we had VH movie stores, if some of you are old enough to remember movie stores, like you walked in, you told the guy, hey, let me get 334, and he went to the back and gave you a VHS tape, Sharknado would be right in the front. It'd have a poster.
Old enough to remember video stores?
Yep.
There was a Blockbuster around your way like a couple of weeks ago. It just closed down.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about a video store. Like, you walk in, the covers are all along the walls. They have little numbers on the side. You go, let me get 7,222. Like, that's the number, 722. And the guy walked to the back. He brought out the VHS tape. He put it in the plastic cover. He gave it to you. You paid $3.
Or a Laserdisc?
No, not Laserdisc. People didn't rent out Laserdisc. But he gave you the VHS tape, and if you brought it back and it wasn't rewound, you had to pay 50 cents. You got charged 50 cents for not rewinding the movie. and that's how it was. I mean, I used to get all the home videos, the family home entertainment with Thundercats. And
I always forget to rewind my DVDs.
We spent more money buying a rewinder. It was like a car, a Corvette that opened up in the front, and you put the VHS tape in. Press it down, it automatically rewinded to you. Because we were spending so much money on rewinding fees. It was ridiculous. But that's where you would find Sharknado with the poster. There'd be a big shark and a tornado. And you'd rent it. And you'd be so... You'd love it for the 80s. But, you know. I don't know. So, I'm gonna throw one out there. And I'm going to say... One movie that I loved that everyone hated was I Come in Peace. And if anybody remembers that... I Come in Peace. It was one of my... Believe it or not. If it wasn't for Expendables...
I had the guy from Herman's Head in it, right?
Yeah, I think so. I know it had Dolph Lundgren.
And Dolph Lundgren.
Dolph Lundgren was the main star. It's one of my favorite Dolph Lundgren movies. And, you know, he made a few. You know, Red Scorpion, Punisher. You know, he did a whole bunch of those things. He-Man, Masters of the Universe. But it's one of my favorite... Universal Soldier. And I like that movie only because I'm a huge Van Damme fan. So... It's Dolph Lundgren.
Understatement.
Some of you might know him as Gunnar Jensen in The Expendables. And it's about an evil crime alien who comes to Earth in search of the universe's best narcotics.
Did you say an evil crime alien?
Evil crime alien.
That's the best term I have ever heard in my life.
An evil crime alien. Who searches the universe for the universe's best drug. And the only problem is it only could be found in human brains. So even when they're, when other drugs are pumped into the human body, the evil alien doesn't speak much. All he does is say, I come in peace. A lot. Like every sentence, he doesn't talk. So he's an evil alien from a different universe and crime alien.
Thank you.
And the only English language he knows is, I come in peace. And every now and again, he would smirk and kill someone with a disc that shoots out of his arm and what seems to be a CD player on his wrist. He got like a CD. He got like a Sega CD on his wrist. And he shoots this disc, a Sega CD, and it chops off the top of your head. And then he comes, and it doesn't ever show what he does, but I'm guessing if it's a drug...
No, it's like probably, a tube that goes in your brain
probably
or something.
Yeah, he probably pulls out a little cocaine straw and sniffs in some... I don't know what the hell's going on in that movie. But I love that movie because he was lethal. So...
That was too many combinations of
things. Too many combinations. Anyway, he was awesome. I come in peace. And then the last line, of course, you go in pieces, bitch. And, you know, back then, adding bitch to every line was, like, the thing to do. So, I Come in Peace is one of my favorite movies that everybody hated. What would you say your second one is?
I don't know. I'm kind of still stunned from yours. I'm trying to recover. I'm going to say Judge Dredd with Sylvester Stallone.
I am the law.
Yes, I am the law.
I'm the law.
For those of you who read the comics,
I'm the law.
It's really a crazy, obscure.
It's exactly like the comics.
Yeah. Anyway, a crazy, obscure British comic that, for some reason, they made it into a movie.
With?
The Sylvester Stallone.
And? Bob Schneider. You can do it!
Really? Can I talk?
Yes.
And Armand DeSante, you know, for those of you who remember that guy from every B movie in the late 90s, Armand DeSante.
I am the law.
It was actually pretty close to the comic. It was pretty decent. I liked it. You know, I didn't have any complaints about it. But, however, I will add this, that the new one is actually a lot better. I like that one a lot than the one that's just called Dredd. You know, but I'm a fan of Judge Dredd. I was a fan of the comic, so maybe I'm biased with that. But that, you know, that's my take. Because I love movies that are faithful to the original media. Yeah.
And it seemed like it was actually, the way it was stylized, that it was closer to the comic book, it seemed like. I'm not a big fan of Judge Dredd, but the way it was made, it was dark.
Physically,
it was grimy.
Sylvester Stallone looks like Judge Dredd.
It was dirty.
With the crazy...
They took Demolition Man and made him Judge Dredd. That's what they did in that movie.
Let's not talk about Demolition Man, please. I'm still trying to figure out the seashells. Please.
The seashells. I want to know why it works for men and women. But
how do you know there were different shells? There might have been different kind of shells.
Because he was like, I'm looking for toilet paper. And he was like, he don't know how to use the seashells. And then Sandra Booker was like, he don't know how to use the seashells. And then the Spanish guy was like, you don't know how to use the seashells? And everybody laughed and gave each other high fives and didn't touch. So everybody knew how to use seashells. But I'm guessing Sandra Bullock laughed too.
Thanks for replaying the scene.
I use the seashell. I am the law.
What the fuck?
All right, so another movie I liked that I loved that everyone hated was Tremors. And it starred Kevin Bacon. And this was before Kevin Bacon became cool again. And it was a movie about he was in the Midwest somewhere. I don't know if he was a rancher.
Tremors,
yeah. And suddenly what he thinks is earthquakes, it's like subterranean monsters.
And it had the guy from Family Ties, right?
Yeah.
The guy from Family Ties.
Yeah. And thing is, the monsters only could follow you by sound. They were blind because they were subterranean. I guess they were trying to say they were, you know, like moles or whatever. But they were like big giant snakes. And when they opened their mouths, they had a tongue that was like snakes. So it was like snakes within snakes. But it was cool because you never knew it was coming and it would pop up, eat you, and drag you down. And the whole movie... You know, you think it's that one tremor, that one thing. And it's like, you find out there's so many more of them. And I thought it was really cool. It wasn't a horror. It was a thriller. And it was really... I didn't see Footloose. And then I hadn't... I watched Footloose since. But then when I saw Tremors, I hadn't watched Footloose. So I was introduced to Kevin Bacon with Tremors, pretty much. When I watched it, and I was... I don't want to give no dates, but it was a really long time ago. And that's just, when I tell people, hey, Tremors, whenever we talk about Kevin Bacon movies, everyone says Footloose. They're like, yeah, Footloose. But Kevin Bacon's made a lot of good movies. And, well, not great. He's never going to win an Oscar. But, yeah, Tremors was my second movie that I loved that I felt like everyone hated. So it'd be your last movie.
I'm going to say Mortal Kombat.
Very good. Mortal Kombat.
And there was something about that movie. It was just the time when, you know, I was like, I had to be, what, like 14 or something like that, where all these movies that came from video games were like special to me. You know what I mean? Like the music, the reenactment of the characters. I just thought, you know, I thought it was really cool at the time. You know, I'm sure if I watch it again, I'm not gonna be.
No, you're still gonna love it, Chris. I love that movie. I know people do hate it. The way that movie begins, you sit in a movie. And then the New Line Cinema comes up and it starts going into the background. And then you hear that scream, Mortal Kombat!
Oh, yeah.
Bim, 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 bim. And you're like, oh, it starts up in a club with Sonya and Jax. It was big
time. You okay there? I think you're getting more excited than I am.
Probably.
Oh my goodness. This guy's a maniac, folks.
Because when I left the movie theater, everybody I was with were like, that was awful. That was sucked. That's not Liu Kang. And everybody's complaining. And I'm like, are you kidding me? That was awesome. She said, get over here. That's all you wanted to hear was get over here.
Really? That's all you wanted to hear?
That's all I wanted to hear was get over here.
Oh, boy. Well, you know, when I first watched it, I was waiting for Fatality. I don't think we got a real Fatality because that would have been crazy. You know, but anyway, to go back to it, I just, the costumes, the bringing to life the characters that you love so much and that you wore down your thumbs for, you know what I mean? It was just kind of a cool film for that age, you know, for me anyway. So, but I got the impression that not a lot of people liked that movie. So I love that. I even love the soundtrack.
The soundtrack was amazing.
Yeah. So there's my third movie.
That movie made me want to play Mortal Kombat. I hated Mortal Kombat, the game. Up, up, left, right, up, up, down, down, left, right, punch. I hated that game. That game, it was impossible to do fatalities. You needed like a third hand.
Is that like playing Street Fighter with three buttons?
That's like playing Street Fighter with three buttons. So imagine playing Mortal Kombat on a Genesis controller. Ooh, boy. So sticking onto the theme of video game movies translated into the big screen. And this, I bought this movie. I have it in my library right now. I've showed it to my kids. Street Fighter the movie. Not the real cool animated but what? The one with Van Damme.
Dude, that was so horrible.
No, you're wrong.
That was
wrong.
So bad.
It was Rob. First of all, it wasn't
Raul Julia's last movie?
Raul Julia's last movie, which
that's
is
so
amazing.
No, that's sad.
He goes probably into the Latino movie Hall of Fame with Street Fighter.
That dude. Movie.
He was Bison. There's no better way to die afterwards than to be Bison.
Dude, that's awful, man. That is so bad.
Listen, Van Damme was Guile, and it had all the characters. They took Charlie, and Charlie, who in the video game storyline, gets stranded in the Amazon jungle, and then they take him, and Bison does, you know, he does science experiments on him, and that's how Blanca is created. And then later on, they decide maybe that wasn't a good storyline, so they actually bring Charlie in the game. But that was Charlie, and they turned him into Blanca. And then you had Zangief. You had Ken, Ryu, Chun-Li. I mean, they tried their best to put all the characters in the game. Obviously, they didn't stick to what the game was. But unless you're doing a kickboxer-type movie or a Mortal Kombat-type movie, you can't stick to the originality of the game and having an army guy fighting a Hindu guy in the middle of the street and everybody cheering. So they made a movie out of famous characters, and to me, it was entertaining. It was fun. I like seeing how the characters were developed, and you know what? It wasn't the worst storyline. It was your basic 80 movie storyline. There's a terrorist. There's an army guy. The terrorist recruits bad guys. The army guy recruits good guys, and then they go to fight.
It was, dude, come on. That movie.
It was better than Nick Fury.
Awful. Oh, you're talking about the made-for-sci-fi Nick Fury?
No, the Nick Fury with Knight Rider.
Yeah, made-for-sci-fi, yeah.
Yeah, that was it.
With what's-his-face? What's his name?
Knight Rider.
Knight Rider? Wow. David Hasselhoff. David Hasselhoff. His name is not Knight Rider, guys.
He'll always be Knight Rider.
Oh, he's not like the warrior.
That was better than that.
He changed his name on his birth certificate.
That was better than that. That was better than the original Captain America.
You're comparing a horrible movie to other horrible movies.
No, I'm comparing a slightly better movie than those horrible movies.
Would you rather watch Mortal Kombat or Street Fighter?
No, Mortal Kombat I thought was awesome. And I thought Street Fighter was awesome, but Mortal Kombat had a soundtrack. And to me, what makes a movie good is the soundtrack. So, you know, at some point when we talk about our actual top 10 favorite movies, you're going to notice that a lot of my favorite movies have a great soundtrack. But Street Fighter was my third movie that I loved that everyone hated.
Including me.
Everybody's got a price. Everybody's got a price. everybody's gonna pay. 'Cause the million dollar man always gets his way.
With that said, I was reading some, you know, I always cruise the internet looking for, you know, comic book news and things like that. I came across a little article talking about the creator of Batman. I was surprised to find out that, I don't know if for you Batman buffs out there, Bob Kane is the creator of Batman. So one of the things I was reading about the creator of Batman was he may not have been the creator. People are saying that the real creator of Batman, who died, I believe, in the 70s, his name is Bill Finger, one of the greatest creators. He's a writer in comic book history, but he's like uncredited for a lot of things. And from his words, I'm going to read this little snippet. It was in someone wrote a book about this, so I just want, and we can include it in the show notes if you want. But for now, let me just read this little snippet from his mouth. And you could tell right off the bat, he's a humble guy. He was talking with Bob Kane, the creator of Batman, or the credited creator of Batman. And he says, Kane had an idea for a character called Batman, and he liked to see me, liked to have me see the drawings. I went over to Kane's, and he had drawn a character who looked very much like Superman, with kind of reddish tights, I believe, with boots, no gloves, no gauntlets, with a small domino mask, swinging on a rope. He had two stiff wings that were sticking out, looking like bat wings, and under it was a big sign saying Batman. Okay, so that was Bob Kane's version of Batman. And all the suggestions that came later on were, you know, the cowl, the cape, the color, I believe the color, and things like that, making him more, you know, the way we know Batman. So my you know, and he was more of a writer than anything else, so he came up with a lot of concepts, and he's also uncredited for a lot of the Batman villains, like the Penguin, you know, being a major one, and there's a dispute over who created Penguin, too. So apparently Bob Kane had a lot of deals going on where he was credited for everything. And not to say that, okay, Bob Kane didn't create the Batman, but I'm just wondering where does the true creator emerge? Is it the guy who came up with this crazy concept that didn't make any sense, or is it the guy who made it what it was today? Like, Bob Kane's Batman was an adventurer of some sort. Bill Finger's idea was to make him a cross between Sherlock Holmes, Zorro, or something to that effect. And I'm wondering, did he create Batman? And I would assume, at the least, he should have been credited. When they say the creator of Batman, they should list both names. You know, and he was also actually an uncredited creator of the Golden Age Green Lantern. For those of you who remember, the guy, not Hal Jordan, but the guy who just had a power ring and flew around on Earth as opposed to space. So I'm wondering who created Batman. You know, what do you guys think? You know, because I don't want to say Bob Kane's like a bad guy or anything like that, because he had the idea for Batman. He came up with the concept of Batman, and then it was refined by his coworker, Bill Finger. So, at the very least, like I said, he should be credited. But did he create Batman, as opposed to Bob Kane? You know, where do we draw the line? You know, it's to the point where there's even an award called the Bill Finger Award for creators who aren't recognized, who don't get recognized for their creations. And one of those guys who got that was a man, a man named Jerry Robinson, who got screwed out of getting proper credit for the Joker.
So the question comes in, is the guy who came up with an idea to have an adventurer said, hey, I got an adventurer. He's going to wear kind of like a mask. He's going to have some wings.
Yeah.
And somebody went, oh, and you know what? How about he doesn't have stiff wings? The wings come from the side. He's black and gray. I like it, but we're going to evolve it. And it's almost like if you took the original Batman idea and you brought it to some guys.
No, you know, like, what I'm saying is it's like, is it like if I drew the stick figure and called him Batman,
and then I put a cape and a hat on him.
Yeah, and then you did everything else.
Then wouldn't I be...
Did I create Batman or did you create Batman?
Maybe the artist credits could go to me. And but the like the evolution... I don't know. It's like you said Batman. And then I drew what I thought Batman should look like. In my words. So then who's the creator? The guy who said, how about a guy who's like Sherlock Holmes and we call him Batman? And I go, ooh, he should look like this. And I draw him. Which one of us created Batman?
That's, yeah.
So then you keep your Batman, your guy, your stick figure, and who's Sherlock Holmes, and I'm going to call this the Bat. And then we could see what they like better. No, that didn't happen, but I'm saying, because then that guy goes, ooh, don't worry about it. You know, I'll hit you off. We'll work together as a team. So the thing is, there's so many people out there who throw ideas out. Hey.
Yeah.
And if somebody heard it, and they make it better. They expand on it and become a billionaire.
But, I mean, if you read my description of... No, my quote. I mean, it's pretty far away. I mean,
the fact that they made an award to acknowledge people who haven't been acknowledged tells me they know this guy is the originator.
Yeah. But, I mean, all right. The sad thing is, the thing that gets me about this is, you know, as being an artist, you know... You want credit for your work. So, I can relate to that. But this guy didn't even really try. He was just like, oh, okay. And he never got the accolades. He died a long time ago. But he never got the accolades. You know, okay, maybe at first Batman was like... Whatever. It was like a little comic book in the 30s and 40s. So, or was it 40s and 50s? But anyway. But there was a point when they came out with the Batman TV show, and then comic books blew up. So at that point, why wouldn't you want to get credit for that? So I'm wondering,
maybe
what was his motivation for just not doing anything about it?
Maybe he was getting paid. Maybe the guy was like, "Listen, I'm gonna take credit for it. You know, this is my life."
He never benefited financially from it. Now, okay, he's dead now, right? Yeah. Who you know? It's like it doesn't matter to him now because he's dead, so he's not going to get money out of it. But in hindsight, it would be nice for him to be recognized. You know,
so whatever. You want Bill Finger recognized?
I think so. You know, I got to read more extensively into this because you know, like I said, I don't think Bob Kane is a bad guy. I think they both came up with the idea of Batman together. But you know. Why didn't Bill Finger get any credit for it? It's very interesting. It's like, what was the deal there? You know what I'm saying? Like, he never benefited from creating the greatest comic book character in the history of comics. I mean, Batman had the most effect on people for the next...
Him and the Joker, that little 50, team.
60 years.
That 60-year tandem.
I mean, Batman brought us, you know, the idea of bringing... I mean, obviously not the idea of justice, but... To able to live vicariously through him, bringing justice to others.
Yeah, having a cold.
You know what I mean? And not to denigrate other characters, but...
But he was the best character. He had the best story.
You know, besides being rich. He was the most relatable.
He had layers to him. And, you know, the Joker. Everything about Batman and his world was much more deeper than just a guy with red tights.
Yeah. Red undies. But at the same time, you got to think, okay... Later on, guys like Frank Miller improved upon Batman and made him how we know him today. But, you know, Frank Miller made Batman.
But, you know, every time I hear about Batman, they go, oh, yeah, we love Batman. The Frank Miller Batman. So, if you think, you know, Johnny Fingers is going to get any play now, it's almost like him and Kane ain't going to be recognized.
Johnny Fingers?
I'm just don't...
Can you ever get a name right, dude?
I threw Johnny Fingers out there.
I said it like 50 times in front of you.
That's the joke, man, that you did say it 50 times. Johnny Fingers and Bobby Pins Kane. What the hell? It's like a Dick Tracy comic. Why are you mad?
Bill Finger, you nut.
First of all, let me let you guys know that Chris, for some reason, took it personal. All right. Shut up. So, with the Batman thing.
Well, I want you guys to look into, not, you know, study it, but look into it. What do you guys think? I'm just curious. You know, who created Batman in that, for instance? Obviously, there's a lot more details we don't know about. You know, life happens and not everything's recorded. So, but that basic idea.
Do you think that's a thing of a tree falls and no one hears it, then it makes a sound? You know, to be cliche. They say Fingers did it, but Bob Kane is the one who said, Look at my idea.
The guy keeps saying it wrong.
I said Billy Fingers. What's his name again?
Bill Finger.
I said Bill Fingers.
Bill Finger!
Oh, not Billy Fingers?
No! He tortures
me. I don't know why he's getting upset over this. Bobby Pins, Kane, and Billy Fingers.
All of those people out there listening who know us personally, you know exactly what I'm going through right now. You know exactly what I'm going through. So...
Yeah, let us know what you think. Who do you think really was the creator? The guy who said, I got an idea, look at my idea, or the guy who took the idea and evolved it and presented it and said, hey, this is my stuff. Let me know. You know, you're sitting around with your peoples and you go, hey, look at me. You know what they should create? Oh, man, they should create like a box that you could put sneakers in. Yeah. And then next thing you know, you go to the store and you buy your sneakers.
Was this like yesterday? Was this like yesterday you came up with the idea?
No, I'm just saying, you ever say something to your buddies and then you see it like 2 months later and you're like, man, I could be a millionaire. But you're not.
Anyway, you know, because he invents a lot of crazy shit.
All right, who invented Batman? Bobby Pins, Kane, or Billy Fingers?
Shut up, man. who invented Batman? What do you guys think? All right, so now...
With Batman out of the way, I got some news about
the
impending Batman versus Superman movie, as some of you might have saw on my Facebook post, that Batman Superman was pushed to 2016.
Already.
And everybody blamed Ben Affleck because it's the easy thing to do.
I'm willing to give Ben Affleck a chance.
Everyone hates Ben Affleck. I am willing to. And people forget that Ben Affleck is probably becoming a... he probably is. In the last maybe 5 years, a really good actor, man. Everybody goes, oh yeah, Argo. No, he's kind of been becoming a really good actor.
That's the actor you love and everyone else hates.
Or maybe, no, I don't love Ben Affleck. I'm just saying people don't give him enough credit. They hear Ben Affleck and they think Geely. They think Jennifer Lopez. They think Boston accent.
Didn't you tell me you like Geely?
I thought Geely was a good movie. It took one stupid...
That should have been on your
list. It took one stupid... I didn't love it, though. I just thought it was better. People said it was the worst movie ever made. And it's wrong, because you know what happens with that movie, Chris? You know what happens with that movie? Everyone forgets that Al Pacino had a major role in that movie. Oh, but nobody knows that, because nobody went and saw it, because they all listened to the guy who said it was the worst movie in the world. But if you watch that movie, Al Pacino had a major role in that movie. But nobody knows Al Pacino was in that movie, because everyone hates Ben Affleck. So everyone thinks that Ben Affleck's the reason Batman. That's the
guy you love and everyone else hates.
No, I don't love him. I just think he don't get enough credit. Ben Affleck hurt his back. Or at least they're telling us he hurt his back.
There's his leg.
There's different reports telling us he hurt himself filming the movie. The truth is that the reason they're pushing it back is because they decided to add Wonder Woman. And they don't know how much the woman's backstory they want to involve. They're saying, should we create the island she comes from? Should we create her world? Or should we just throw her in there and have her world flashing in and out of the movie?
How many hours is this movie going to be?
It's probably going to be like Superman, 2 hours and a few minutes. But they want to know, should they... This is what I say. If you're going to make a movie, and it's not going to come out to 2016, because you want to bring Wonder Woman in a perfect light. Listen, we just started in 2014. Hit us with a Wonder Woman movie in the summer of 2015. Let us see a Wonder Woman movie. Give us her backstory. So when the Batman Superman movie comes in, there you go. We don't got to worry about Wonder Woman. Why did Wonder Woman take precedent over this movie? Anyway, so when I put it out there in Facebook about it being pushed back, we had a comment from one of our listeners, Victoria Faye.
Wonder Woman's hot.
Fonseca. And she wrote on Facebook, I honestly feel like adding her would be pointless. Then they would have to make her backstory, and it's just a waste. Like, adding Ben Affleck. Isn't adding Ben Affleck already messed up? So I guess that goes against what I was saying. I don't think Ben Affleck, and my co-host here don't think Ben Affleck's going to be a bad Batman. I do agree that adding... If you're not ready to make Wonder Woman a big part of this movie, then you can't give her a big storyline. Because Thor... They gave Thor... I think we know more about Thor from his second movie than we did his first movie. Because we saw more of Asgard than we see in the first movie.
You know why I think Ben Affleck, you should give him a chance?
I'm giving him a chance.
No, not you. Oh, I meant okay. Them.
You were looking right at me.
The you and the microphone.
Look at the microphone.
Yeah, the you and the... Oh, my goodness.
You were looking right at me when you said it. You
had problems with social cues.
Yeah, so, especially when someone's looking at you.
So, anyway, I think it would have been really bad if Ben Affleck was in, like, the Dark Knight movies. That would have been awful. But I think it's okay now, because it's supposed to be when Batman's older and more, like, mature. Like, past the point of the Dark Knight movies. They're not directly connected, but I'm just saying that's the idea.
It's not even the same world.
Yeah, but that's the idea where he's supposed to be past... He's supposed to be an older Batman. You know, so I think it's okay. So, I don't think it's... we'll see. It could be awful. But I'm willing to be okay with it for now.
Listen, when I heard everybody complaining about it, I just threw it out there. Then who do you want as a Batman? Nobody gave me an answer. All they said was, anyone but Ben Affleck. Well, you ain't got the answer. So give Ben Affleck the chance. Plus, this is what it is. Make the Wonder Woman in the Superman-Batman movie. And then after the Superman-Batman movie... introduce us to Wonder Woman in her own movie and let it play off the world that they're creating. But then again, they probably can't do that because they're doing this also to film Superman versus Batman back to back with the Justice League movie. So in this movie...
Well, it's confusing. Or is it the Justice League movie?
They're saying it's a Justice League movie because there's rumors that we're gonna have cameos by Nightwing, Cyborg, and The Flash.
And Aquaman.
So, this movie is going to be... It's either going to be some hot or a hot mess. And DC has been building... Like, I've been loving more and more. Not only DC Comics, but DC movies. And ever since...
52.
Ever since the new Batman came out a few years ago. The Nolan ones. And then, you know, the new 52. The new comic series. The 101s. And now we got this new Superman movie that just came out. Around Father's Day, it was amazing. I think DC is slowly catching up to where Marvel's at right now. And that's a good thing.
Also, for those of you who are interested, I was reading today that there's a movie coming out on streaming, Justice League War. I believe currently you can buy it, but I think you can rent it soon, probably a week or two. But I'm anxious to see that. DC animated movies are fantastic.
Can you get that on Netflix or on Hulu or something?
Probably Amazon or a streaming app called Vudu. Which you can get on the PlayStation. It's like a movie rental app, nothing to it. But it's also on Amazon.
Okay. That'd be cool because now we got this new Batman Son coming out. And I'm really hyped to see the Batman.
The Son of Batman?
The Son of Batman, yeah. That should be really cool. So, right now we're going to take a short little break. Let you go back in time with this nice little quip. So last week, we told you this week we were going to be taking one of our movies that either we liked or didn't like so much and be recasting it. Excuse me, folks. That was just a burp right there. And we were going to be recasting the movie. Not that we thought the movie was horrible, but that maybe if we took today's actors with it and put them in it, it would give us a different opinion of the movie. So me and Chris Wizard each got a movie. He's going to tell you his movie and who he would put in the movie. We both took a completely different stance on the movie. Chris, what is it?
I'm going to take Star Trek and recast it.
So are we talking about the old ones with Kirk or the new ones?
I'm going to say the old ones with Kirk. Okay. I think that would be fun. That would make more sense.
Okay.
Well, they both have Kirk, actually.
You know what I mean.
Space. You mean William Shatner?
William Shatner.
Okay. So, I think this would be amazing.
These are the voyages
if
of
you
the
recast Star Trek
Enterprise.
And make it's 5 years William Shatner
to explore strange new
Harvey Keitel.
To seek out new life
and you make Kirk Harvey Keitel.
Yeah, okay. William Shatner's part.
Go where no man has gone
and
before.
Then make. And then make Spock Steve Buscemi. And then Bones would be Will Ferrell.
Right? So you're looking for a comedy. You're looking for a comedy angle.
Yeah.
Or a serious slash Tarantino angle where you have these weird characters playing serious roles.
Yeah, man. And so I think that would be amazing.
So then, he wants to see Star Trek with Harvey Keitel, Steve Buscemi, and Will Ferrell.
Yeah, come on, that would be.
Let us know your thoughts, people. I think that would be a great Saturday Night Live skit.
And then,
I mean, you know, you're probably just angered 90% of our listeners, but
Will. Hey, I love Star Trek. I'm just being what is known as is funny.
Funny.
And then Sulu would be Chang from Community. I forgot his real name at the moment.
You talking about Chang from Hangover.
Yeah.
Motherfucker.
Yeah. That would be no words.
We wouldn't be able to watch the movie because we'd be pissing in our pants the whole time.
Yeah.
Can you remember Harvey Keitel having a segment with Will Ferrell? It's just.
And I want the movie directed by Francis Ford Coppola.
So he wants a gangster movie with Will Ferrell, Chang.
A gangster space movie.
Keitel and Steve Buscemi. Okay. Anybody else you want to throw in there?
We could make Chekhov Bruce Willis.
Okay.
Just for kicks.
Screw it.
Yeah.
So this is the expandables of what the hell are we doing characters in one movie.
It's definitely expandable. I don't know about expendable.
So, okay. So he took a very entertaining approach to recasting the movie. I took a little different approach. I actually thought about actors who could.
What is that supposed to mean?
Who could play the roles? Maybe I was wrong. Maybe I should have went the funny approach. We would have probably had a better time instead of what people are going to go, really? And then kill me for it. But, all right. I'm not going to go too into why I picked these people.
You should not be afraid of that. Cause,
but yeah, I don't give a damn.
Because that's going to happen to you no matter how hard you try.
A lot of the people I chose is pretty much either because they look like them or I thought they could bring something different to the character. So I chose the X-Men.
Is it Batman?
I thought Batman is perfect. I chose the X-Men. And I chose the X-Men. Not that I thought it was a bad movie. There was a few characters I didn't like. And there was a few characters I thought I can't recast. But
I think they should remake all those
movies. I'm going to recast them anyway. So, I decided to do X-Men, and I decided Cyclops. I thought John Hamm.
Oh, that would be amazing.
From Mad Men could be a good Cyclops.
I hate the douche they have now.
Yeah, he's kind of a whiner. I thought Storm could be Kerry Washington. I don't buy Halle Berry in anything.
Oh, man, ouch.
I think Halle Berry, his best quality was showing her TNA on Monster. I don't like Halle Berry. I can't stand her. And I thought putting her as Storm was just trying to get that pop culture attention.
She was Catwoman, too.
Yeah.
I just realized that.
I mean, she's amazing looking. And she probably is a great actress somewhere. I just don't see it. For this type of movie, it didn't work. She was still being Halle Berry.
Bollywood?
Yeah, I don't know. She was still being Halle Berry, so I'm going to say Kerry Washington. Plus, I think Kerry Washington is hot. And you don't need a great actor, actress to be Storm. You just need somebody who kind of looks the part. Halle Berry is not it.
Can we have a great actress, though?
I mean, but then you're trying to make it serious. And, you know, X-Men's not serious.
Well, it's comedy?
It's not comedy. I mean, it's not like you're not giving an Oscar for anything. So you can't go too deep into the pool where somebody's going to, where we can find. And there aren't, unfortunately, there aren't a lot of great black actresses out there who can pull Storm off. Probably Halle Berry was the one. But, you know, some characters don't have enough story in the movie where you have to put such a powerful actress. And when I say powerful, I just mean by pop culture standards, not by actually acting ability. So I thought Jean Grey could be Jennifer Lawrence. Why not? Right? Hunger Games. I could see it working. You know, I didn't like the person they chose for Jean Grey. Because in the comics, they make Jean Grey hot. And I don't think in the movie she was attractive at all. So that's me for Jean Grey. Wolverine. I don't want to recast Wolverine. I think no one's ever going to be a better Wolverine than Hugh Jackman. But if I was going to pick someone, I'd pick someone who looks beaten up, run down, old. Benicio Del Toro. For Wolverine.
Oh, wow.
He always looks run down. He always looks...
If it's based off very abstract beat art up. Of Wolverine.
Yeah, like, you know, if you're talking about Old Man Logan in that comic series, you know, Benicio Del Toro could pull off a Wolverine who just got kind of hit by a truck, you know? So he could kind of do that. He got, you know, all the lines in his face. You know, if Liefeld drew him, he could be Wolverine, you know?
You know who would be an awful Wolverine, but... Has the actual height measurements for Wolverine?
No.
Tom Cruise.
That's awful. I thought you were going to say Vin Diesel. Yeah, Tom Cruise is no good. He could be Cyclops.
Wolverine's short.
Tom Cruise could be Cyclops.
No, I know, but Wolverine's... He got the hair. No, I'm saying it's awful.
Yeah.
But he's...
Because of his height?
Because of his height. Because Wolverine's supposed to be short.
He is. All right, so...
And and Hugh Jackman is like 8 feet tall.
Professor X gets no recasts. Now.
He looked at the microphone seriously for that, guys.
He gets no recast, okay?
He dead stared you.
Picard
he
was
dead-eyed you.
Born to play that role. I was in high school.
Patrick Stewart?
Yeah, no, Picard. I was in high school in 1994, and we all said, who could be Xavier Charles? I said, Captain L. Luke Picard. And then they said, you mean Patrick Stewart? Steward, and I went, no, I Captain L. Picard. So the same shit happened almost 20 years ago.
What'd you call him?
Kim. What is it, Captain L. Picard?
What's your universe? What is it like? Jean-Luc Picard?
I said Jean-Luc Picard.
No, you said J.L. Picard?
I said J.Luc Picard.
Or Jean-Luc Picard.
I'm still right. I said J.Luc Picard. That's still Jean-Luc Picard.
Why would you say that?
Listen. I don't wear the
red
shirt.
Just go on.
All right.
We've accepted your missing letters in your brain.
So, I thought Magneto could actually be the guy who played Magneto in X-Men First Class. He would have been a perfect Magneto. Who said Magneto was an old, broken down fuck? Why is Magneto... What? Not Gandalf. You're Gandalf. Why is Magneto Gandalf? I don't remember Magneto being 79 years old. I hated Magneto. First of all, in the movies. You needed a young, vibrant Magneto in a badass suit.
He was from World War II.
Don't give a shit. They screwed up the rest of that comic. They screwed it up. And in the comic books, he was Dizu as hell. So why couldn't you just put somebody more buff, more vibrant?
Old people can't work out?
He did it. That's what I'm saying. He wore pajamas the whole movie with a cape.
You're very angry about this.
Yeah, man.
That's the part you're angry about?
Oh, anyway, the actor's name is Michael Fassbender, and I thought he would have made a great Magneto. You know, Sabretooth? I don't care who plays him. I'm just glad Ron Perlman wasn't Sabretooth.
He should have been.
I think anytime Ron Perlman gets in a movie, it automatically goes into the B-movie
section.
No,
that's horrible. Ron Perlman is amazing.
Ron
He's
Perlman
Hellboy.
Is amazingly a B-movie actor.
No.
He knocked it out the park with Hellboy because he was born to play Hellboy, bro. He is Hellboy. Someone looked at him as a teenager and said, yo, I got an idea for a character. How about that guy as a demon
child?
You're
a very shallow person.
Ron Perlman is the worst. He's a good actor. but not, you know, I'm tired of seeing him. When I see Ron Perlman, I go,
does he live next door to you? Is he your neighbor?
Yes, he dumps trash on my lawn all the time.
You don't have a lawn.
I don't. Okay. But if we're going to pick somebody for Sabretooth, I would probably go with Johnny Strong. And he was in Black Hawk Down and Get Carter. That's all I really know about him. I saw his look. I saw the characters he played. And I said, oh, Sabretooth, he could do it. Pyro and Iceman aren't important enough to recast. So, when I put it out there on Facebook, Darnell Will wrote on Facebook that he thought the first Green Lantern, and this is his words, first Green Lantern, and I'm starting at the top, put in director Zack Snyder. You could keep the whole staff, and the whole movie becomes better.
Is he talking about the...
And he LOL'd it.
He LOL'd it. You're talking about the one, what's his name, those Green Lantern?
Or Ryan Reynolds? Ryan Reynolds. I think Ryan Reynolds, I like him. He could pull it off.
Yeah, he's all right. It was just the story was bad.
The story was horrible. Everything about the story was bad. And you put unfortunately, Nolan can't do everything, DC. But Zack Snyder has a pretty good chance that if he could remake a few movies, and really do them well. So, Chris, you got anything left to say?
No, I'm done talking to you effers.
Okay. Remember, we're grateful for every like. We're grateful for every follow. If you love our show, you can show us how much you love us by hitting like on the Facebook page or following us at The Kitchen Sink 2 on Twitter. You can also follow us on facebook.com/kitchen.sink.12 and hit like. Show us how much you love us.
You have a smooth voice. You know that? It's Anyway, continue. I'm sorry.
Thank you so much. Once again, to remember those things, you can follow us on Facebook, you can send us an email, or you can follow us on Twitter. You could talk to me, Eddie Z. You could talk to Chris Wizard. You could talk to one of us. You could talk to both of us. Give us your opinions. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't like. And from us here at the Kitchen Sink, be safe, have fun, and remember, always stay passionate.
And don't fly off that turtle.
Take that twist and you will shout, those fish are gone.